foundations of our Amunah. So we often rightfully think of the entire story of Yitzchak Mitzrayim as the foundation for Amunah. Yitzchak Mitzrayim is when the nation was built. You know, that's what we talk about, the Lelel Seder being the Lelel Amunah. It's a time of building a person's Amunah. And we're counting each and every one of the nisim that occurred in Mitzrayim and in the aftermath of leaving Mitzrayim. It builds a sense of Amunah in each of us. And yet, when the Rambam describes the foundations of our Amunah, in Hilchos Yesodei Torah, Perek Ches, Halacha Aleph, he makes a point of saying that Yitzchak Mitzrayim didn't do the trick. That Amunah was not something that we really experienced and we really felt until Kabbalah Satorah, until Matan Torah. He writes, Moshe Rabbeinu, Lo ha'aminu bo Yisrael ne'osu sha'asa, the Jewish people didn't believe in what Moshe Rabbeinu was selling because of the miracles they did in Mitzrayim. That our own eyes saw, our own ears heard. And how do I know that Magen Har Sinai is the raya to Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah and to the accuracy of all that Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching us? Shenemar hinei enochi ba'elech ba'av hanan ba'vur yishma ha'am b'divrei amcha v'gam b'cha ya'aminu li'olam. Mechlal shekodem d'abrazeh lo aminu ba'o ne'amanus shi'omedes li'olam. That up until the time of Magen Har Sinai, where Moshe Rabbeinu was very clearly identified by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the person that he was going to transmit the Torah to, through, there wasn't going to be an Amunah that was omedus li'olam. Elo ne'emanus sheyesh achareha hir hur u'machshav. Whatever Amunah we had through all the Eser Makos and through Kriyas Yamas and everything else, was the Rambam describes the Amunah sheyesh achareha hir hur u'machshav. An Amunah that we didn't really buy, that we weren't really totally bought into. So the Rambam's teaching us that after Moshe Rabbeinu accurately predicted in advance the 10 Makos, and it brought the Egyptians to their knees, it brought the most powerful nation in the world to their knees, and he led us through Kriyas Yam Suf, which finished them off, but we still weren't ready for a lasting belief in the truth of his message until we received the Torah. The question is, why? Why do we require more evidence than, to the Nevuasa Shehi Enes in Lashon HaRambam? I think, maybe I'm a little gullible. I think I would have been convinced that Don, maybe even by the sticking the hand and pulling out Sarat, whatever. It took all of that, and still, Yesh Acharei Hiru. Furthermore, Gemara Tzvachim, Daf Kuf Zayin, as Machlokas, whether Yisro joined Klal Yisrael along with Moshe Rabbeinu's family before or after Matan Torah. So Rav Arlo Mibel points out an astonishing thing. I never thought about it. That according to the opinion that Yisro joined Klal Yisrael after Matan Torah, Yisro wasn't alone, right? Meaning when Yisro joined, he was bringing Moshe's family with him. That means that Moshe Rabbeinu's own children missed Kabbalah Satorah. They weren't there, the Kabbalah Satorah. How could Moshe have allowed that to happen? How could Hashem have allowed that to happen? Maybe I'm coming from a modern perspective. We live in a world where if your parents fly their kids over from yeshiva because it's their second cousin's bat mitzvah, and they can't miss such a thing. But I can't imagine that there was ever a time in history that it would be normal for children of the greatest leader in history to miss the most inspirational and rebuilding moment in the history of the world. I don't know. It's hard to imagine. Even more astonishing is that the simple reading of the Chumash makes it sound like Yisro left immediately before Matan Torah. He joined after Matan Torah. When did he leave? Right before Matan Torah. It was with Moshe's blessing. The pasuk says, just read the Chumash. V'yishlach Moshe eschosano ve'elechlo el arzo. Moshe Rabbeinu says goodbye to Yisro. Have a nice trip. Sends his father-in-law back off to his hometown. The very next pasuk. V'chodesh ha'shlishi v'tzeis b'nei Yisrael me'aretz Mitzrayim. And comes the third month of our Yitzias Mitzrayim v'yom v'zeh bo'o mi'par Sinai. And the Yisum Mirafid and then Moshe Allah Lukin goes right into Kabbalah Satorah. Goodbye Yisro, and now Kabbalah Satorah. How could it have been worth it for Yisro to leave Dafka at that time? So Rav Hedek Leibowitz no relation. I pointed out that my son Yisrael is marrying Risa Harris, last name is Harris. The two biggest names in the Yeshiva's Chafetz Chaim are Leibowitz and Harris, because but the Leibowitz is not the Leibowitz and the Harris is not the Harris. It's not a Chafetz Chaim Shiva. So anyway, Rav Hendel Leibowitz develops an idea that wasn't just an idea, but really, if you know anything about Rav Hendel, it was sort of a mission that he sent his closest and most precious Talmid on. He says in Chidush Aleim, which is a wonderful five-volume set on Chumash that one of his Talmidim put out, Rabbi Ruben from Florida, the brother of Rabbi Ruben from Medicine, put out beautiful, beautiful set of Chumash. So he writes there that the greatest thing a Jew can do is to bring Torah to a place where Torah does not yet exist. That is the greatest contribution a Jew can make. Even if a person feels that he's sacrificing his own spiritual growth, his own ruchnius, his own development, Torah should be brought to new places and to new people where otherwise it would not exist. Rav Hendel quotes a beautiful line from the Chassam Sofer in the introduction to Shailos and Tshuvos. Listen to this. The Chassam Sofer writes, Im Amru Yomar Evede Ivri, if a Jew will ask, Chashka Nafshi Ba'asheh, B'chafetz Ani Liskari Vilam, all I desire is to spend my life in Avodas Hashem, to sit in the Beis Medrash. Ve'eich Esezos L'ma'ik B'limudi, how could it be that I'm going to cut out learning from my schedule, that I'm going to cut out the possibility of advancement in my own ruchnius, in order to make sure that other people are learning? Hatshuva elav, the response to such a person is divrei chazal taina zayin amral, harbi lamad dimi rabosai, umechaveira yosimi rabosai, umitalmida yosir mikula. Chazal tell us, you think when you have Talmidim you're going to learn less because you're giving over to Talmidim. When you have Talmidim you're going to learn more. You'll become greater. Hayipalei mehashem davar. You think anything is beyond the Kodesh Baruch Hu's capacity? L'malas l'chashleimus nafshecha mehashem chsarto l'kvot shmi. To make sure that you're able to grow and to achieve because you were willing to give up for the sake of my honor? You do what you're supposed to do, which is to spread Hashem's Torah, and Hashem will do what He's supposed to do, which is to make sure that your growth is not stunted from that. You will achieve more in less time than most people will achieve in much more time because there's something in the world called Tziyata Deshmei. And when you do Ratzon Hashem, you're granted Tziyata Deshmei. I remember when I got married pretty young, and I remember I was talking to my brother at the time. I was talking about one of my rebbeim who got married very late. He got married when he was in his 40s. He said, how am I ever going to be a Talmud Chacham like that? He's been sitting learning Yom V'Layla for decades. For decades. How is anyone... So my brother, I don't know if you quoted this himself, but he basically said the same thing. He said, do you think Hashem doesn't want you to get married? If Hashem wants you to get married, he'll say, you'll do what you're supposed to do. And when you do what you're supposed to do, you'll have to see out the Shemayah to become whatever you're supposed to become. As long as you work really, really hard. But you have to trust that a person probably can make it. That a person can achieve in a lesser amount of time if he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. And he's trying to spread the word of God. He's trying to spread Torah to other people. So Rav Hendel writes, you know, when you think about what Yisrael was passing up by leaving Kol Yisrael in the Midbar, it's pretty overwhelming. The existence of the Midbar was surrounded by Halel Yaakov, total separation from anything frivolous that, you know, people normally get caught up with in life. No worry about Parnassa, receiving Torah Hashem directly from Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, priming ourselves to be the most receptive people to Torah that ever lived, right? It says, Lomit the Torah Lidrosh Allah Ochle Haman, that the Ochle Haman had a certain receptiveness to Torah. We were experiencing daily miracles in a climate-controlled desert. Can you imagine how much of an aliyah in Ruchnius Yisrael could have achieved if he would have stayed in that place? Yet, Moshe Rabbeinu sends him away. And Rashi explains he didn't send Yisrael away because of some sort of complicated father-in-law, son-in-law relationship or power struggle or whatever. Like, that wasn't the Indian. He sent him away, L'gayer b'nei mishpachta. He was on a mission. Spread Torah to other people in your life. And apparently it's worth leaving the spiritually ideal setting to go live among all the Avodah Zarah in order to spread Torah. And with that idea, we can answer all the questions we started with in reversal. We asked, how Yisrael could leave before Matan Torah and how he could give up on an opportunity to grow such great spiritual heights, the answer is that he was going to do something even more important. Instead of being a recipient of the Ribbono Shel Olam's influence, he went out as a shliach of Hashem to spread his holy Torah. So would you rather be someone who is able to receive from Hashem or to act for Hashem? To be the shluch shaladim kamosa of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We wondered how Moshe Rabbeinu's own children could miss out on Kabbalah Satorah. My elementary school Rosh Yeshiva, Binyamin Kamenetsky Zatzal, in the Sefer Chelkas Binyamin, not to be confused with the son of the Badi, in the Sefer Chelkas Binyamin, explains that it was done by design that his children wouldn't be there, to show that the Torah was not only meant for those who were present on Matan Torah. The Torah is meant to be spread and to be taught to people who aren't there, and especially future generations. Moshe Rabbeinu had to participate in spreading the message of Har Sinai to his children in the same way we spread it to our children. That example was set right at the outset, that the greatest thing you're going to be able to do with this Torah is teach it to your children. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to have children that needed to be taught it, that weren't there. And that might also explain why Matan Torah was necessary for a lasting Emunah. Miracles are impressive, and all the miracles are more impressive. And it gets the attention of people, whether in that generation or future generations, but lasting Emunah. What the Rambam calls Emunah Shehi Omedes Li'olam, that's not followed by any Hirhur Machshava, is only transmitted through Torah. Essentially, the holiest thing a Jew can do is to find a place, a space, that is missing Torah, whether it's a place in the world, or whether it's a period of time, or a person in your life, and go fill that place with Torah. Rav Henoch, sent out his talmidim across the country to cities that didn't have much Torah. We have to find people, who are not learning as much as they should, like ourselves, and find the spaces and time where we're not filling with Torah and try to fill those with Torah. A lot of times, someone once asked me, like, when you dedicate a shir, the zikr nishmas, the nishmas, someone. It's like, how does that work? The shir was going to happen anyway, right? So, like, what's the aliyas neshama? You didn't bring Torah, and you didn't bring Torah newly into any space. So, I'm not sure what the answer is, but probably enochinami, meaning better, is to create something new. To find some place, some space, something that doesn't yet have Torah. Some time in your day, when you go to sleep at night and you have nothing on your mind, to train yourself to have one thing in learning that you just think about till you fall asleep. I found that it's a great way to fall asleep at night. Because the Yetzer Hara is very, very strong. So as soon as you start thinking you're learning, boom, you'll be out in like half a second. So, you win Mimonosha. It's a real Mimonosha, not like the one we had. So you win. In order to be successful, to bring Torah to people, places and times that don't have it, it has to be filled with warmth, with positivity, with love. And those who have those character traits, that's the Avodah. The Avodah is, whatever you do professionally, whatever you do for a living, the Avodah is to be able to bring Torah to places where it doesn't exist. Literally, Lahag Deal. Torah, the Lahad.